You're listening to From Illumination to Innovation, a revealing and provocative exploration of the rapidly shifting landscape of values, purpose, leadership, and culture, both corporate and social. I'm your host, Stephanie Crane.
And I'm your host, Shaniqua Brown. We're excited to have you join us as we shine a light on new perspectives, amplify voices of influence, and elevate bright ideas that will expand your idea of what's possible in business and beyond.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to From Illumination to Innovation. I am Stephanie Crane, and I am a corporate mystic and the owner of Tapas Innovation. And this is a little bit of a relaunch. I started this podcast about a year ago, launched an episode, and then realized I wanted to do some things different. And one of the things I wanted was a partner in crime, and I found the perfect one in Shaniqua Brown. Shaniqua, I'm going to turn it over to you. Introduce yourself, please.
Hi, everyone. I'm Shaniqua Brown, the elite TA intuitioneer and founder of my company, Elevated TA. And Stephanie, I met at a Fiesta networking event.
You did, at Capital Factory.
At Capital Factory. And we really just aligned. It was very serendipitous for me when I met you. And we aligned on values and business. And here we are today.
Absolutely.
And our first topic that we feel is foundational to both of our businesses is the foundation of ethos and intuition in business. And when I think about how important, you know, ethos and intuition are in business, I'm thinking about the decision-making aspect. And I saw this article by Cornerstone Dynamics, mm-hmm. and they stated that decision-making with intuition in the business world means trusting yourself and your initial assessment of a situation, which would include a brief and often subconscious calculation of the physical and emotional environment. And like, think about how quickly decisions could be made in an organization if we are aligned to our intuition.
Absolutely. What do you think? And that's exactly the truth. And it's why ethos is so important, and really truly understanding your own value system, mm-hmm. both as an individual and as an organization, and how those values get activated. Because when you have clarity around your values and you understand how they integrate into your business, mm-hmm. your ethos of the business ethos, which is really just functionally the character of your business, mm-hmm. really just, does it do what it says it does? Does it act the way it tells you it is, you mm-hmm. know, as what it is, it projecting the truth? And so if your ethos is authentic and true, well, then your intuition is going to be much more naturally mm-hmm. able to read truth. You're going to know in your gut immediately mm-hmm. what feels good and right. So you will be able to make quicker, more effective business decisions.
Right. And this reminds me of a time when I use my intuition in the workplace to make a decision, and it was in a talent acquisition team meeting mm-hmm. where we were discussing how can we increase our diversity candidate pool. Our aspirational goal was to hire from more diverse communities to meet not only our needs internally, but to meet our customers' needs. And what a noble way. I am happy to do that. And there were a lot of traditional ideas being shopped around, like, you know, perhaps we can have a diversity sourcing jam. Maybe we can, have a networking event where we're hosting from HBCUs or other minority groups. And I raised my hand and just asked, like, well, can we simply hire leaders with a diverse network? You know, and innately, I just knew that if we hired people who value diversity at the top, then hiring from at the bottom would be much easier. You know,
I'm curious what was the response to your suggestion?
Oh my gosh, I was met with crickets. I was met with crickets because I guess it was kind of outside of the box. But to me, leadership is what drives a culture.
Well, intuitively, you know, the mission. Intuitively, it makes sense. intuitively, it makes sense. And what's interesting about it is this organization that is, they're trying to express an ethos, right? They're trying to express this ethos that we care about diversity, we care about inclusion, you know, we care about these ideas that we are told are important, right? But if that ethos or if that value is really, really a true core value, it shouldn't be that hard to express it. It shouldn't be something that you have to like have this big strategic, you know, like how do we do, because and that feels so contrived and manipulated. And the thing is employees of today see right through that.
Oh, 100%.
They know. They can feel it. They can feel when the culture's authentic. And they can also feel when they're being manipulated or when they're just, you know, when things are just not as they're presented from the beginning, so to speak. You know, it's like you get recruited in with one story, but then your experience when you come into the organization shifts.
Oh, I remember as a kid when my mother would, you know, tell me that I should do whatever. And if my mother wasn't doing exactly what she told me to do, I felt like, why are you forcing me to do something that you cannot uphold? And that's the same that rings true with business. Employees want, you know, they want to align with an organization, the values, the mission, the objective. Like, employees want to be successful.
Absolutely.
But when your leadership doesn't reflect your organization's vision, mission, and its own objectives, then what is the point? Especially when you throw in the factor of pay.
Right. And if we look at data, I mean, the data says right now, like, people are making value-based decisions about the companies they work for. And they're willing to leave based on those values. So it's critical for businesses to truly have a value activation strategy, to have a foundation that allows them to build and develop those values so that they can be more intuitive about things like hiring their talent, right? Things like bringing people on board, not as a culture fit, but as a culture add, right?
Yes.
Something that is expanding the culture of their organization and bringing more perspective and more influence and more insight, frankly, you know?
Stephanie, you have a wealth of experience, and that was one of the things that like intrigued me about developing our partnership and our relationship. Tell me about like how you've experienced like ethos and intuition in your line of work.
Dang, thank you for asking. You know, it's interesting because I have a wealth of experience, but I don't have traditional education. And for a long time, that was a bug, and these days it feels like a feature.
And in
my experience working in I've worked in a variety. I have a very diverse background in corporate world and B2B, B2C, and then very diverse industries in the context of that. And what's been interesting for me is that I've seen similar challenges, no matter, regardless of the industry that I'm in, the challenge of really being able to activate value and ethos within your culture seems to exist pretty consistently across the board. And, you know, over time I started recognizing some of the key things that would lead to that. And so working in like really highly competitive cultures, it really diminished the ethos of the company, because you're diminished when you're in a highly competitive environment. There are some benefits and some value to competition without question. You know, it's motivating and it can move literally the ball forward, right? But when you're in a highly competitive environment that is supposed to have a shared vision, you end up pitting teams against each other that really should functionally be collaborating together. And so, you know, silos get developed, information gets hoarded, people stop sharing, and they stop trusting. And over time, this starts bringing up all sorts of different types of, I call them like hidden cost of toxic culture. Because over time, these things begin to have exponential impact. And at some point, you know, I believe, and this is just, again, through my experience of observation, leadership drives culture, and your culture drives your brand. And so if your culture is breaking down, it's because leadership is not upholding that value system. Leadership is not expressing those values through the culture. Mm-hmm. And the culture, your employees are aware of that.
Oh, they can feel that.
They feel it. They know it. They probably experience it. And in some cases, they may be. It may be affecting their health. It may be affecting their family life at home. It may be permeating beyond just their work experience and into other aspects of their life. And so this is something that, you know, it affects our world and our society. It's not just about, oh, you know, a bad business culture. And the fact that, you know, I've been in so many different types of organizations and that these things are apparent. It doesn't matter, you know, this is more of a systemic issue of how businesses have been taught to be successful.
Yes.
And what we need to do right now is sort of have an unlearning and then a resurgence of awareness that, you know, as Mark Cuban was recently quoted as saying, you know, he was on a podcast and giving an interview, and he said, I wish that people had taught me to be nicer when I was younger. You know, that just kindness pays. And it pays beyond profit.
I find that to be very interesting that, you know, he has that, like, reflection of what was once praised as being, like, a hardcore leader that doesn't, you know, take any crap and you have to work long, hard hours to be successful. And he's like, I could have been nicer. You know, that's like a huge takeaway.
It is a huge, you know, it's really interesting because I got to meet Mark Cuban about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was a keynote speaker for the organization I was working with at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was on the marketing team, and we were responsible for just making sure that he got to where he was going. We needed to make sure he got on stage, right? So we were his greeters, and then I guess his handlers, so to speak, you know. and we were all, our team, you know, like, we were excited and nervous. You know, I remember that because back then, he did have a little bit of a reputation of, you know, maybe being a little fiery, or, you know, we didn't know sort of what to expect from his personality. And in the end, you know, we met him. He was just unbelievably humble and gracious and kind. And he just treated everybody with so much respect. He came in. He did a great, fantastic job. He was inspirational to me. I started following him from that day. Everything, my whole perspective about him changed in that moment of just experiencing his energy directly. And I felt like that he was probably, when I met him, in that period of self-awareness and transition of growth. In that period of literally becoming a better leader, figuring out what his values really were. Because from that point on, he only continued to just kind of vibrate higher, to just excel and elevate in the way that he presented himself in business. So it had an impact on me. And when I saw that quote last week, it brought back all those memories. And I was just like, wow. That's so, I love the full circle moment of that.
Yes.
For me, it felt that way. It felt like just a full circle moment of awareness.
It's really beautiful to have that reflection. There's this Gartner article. I can't recall which one it is. We'll possibly link it later.
Sure.
we'll do that. But the article is so timely because they're discussing the coin term, the Great Resignation. Gartner said that this is actually a great reflection. And this goes back to why it's so important that we cultivate the ethos, intuition in our business, because employees, people are looking for, you know, like, to have value-based decisions in, like, in their work, in their personal lives, in their, social groups or other, like, areas of their lives. And it's really awesome to see leaders, business leaders like Mark Cuban, like, ushering in the niceties, where you do have some leaders that are saying that you have to get back to work or we're going to use this recession against you. You know, like, so it's really nice to see that you have two sides of a different coin, I would say.
Well, and for me, at least from my perspective, it's really the difference between approaching your business and your business mindset from a space of abundance or from a space of fear. And if you're approaching from a place of fear, then you're going to feel the need to control instead of lead. And those are two very, very different things. Those are two very different energies that are happening. And leaders, you know, their opportunity is to inspire and to actually allow people to express more than they even thought was possible.
Right.
Right? Leaders, like, take you to your own next level of possibility. That's the truth. And we're coming out of an age where you really can't manage people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can manage your time, you can manage a project, you can manage data.
Mm-hmm.
You need to lead people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people,
inspire.
You need to inspire them. You know, they need to be led. And that leadership comes from understanding yourself, knowing what your values are, knowing, knowing even, you know, to the degree it's like, yeah, you need to know your flaws, but more than anything to me, it's like, you need to know the kind of energy you're bringing forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to judge things as sort of like flawed or negative. I like to look at things as, is this workable?
Mm.
Does this take us to the next point? Does this take us to the next level? Is this doing what it needs to do energetically?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're just screaming at your people and you're not taking into consideration what their needs are and the value that they're bringing you every single day, like the exponential value, then I feel like that is, it's the recipe for unsustainability in a business these days.
Mm. I think that's such a good point and like a segue into like what, like how are we seeing ethos and intuition in business today? Like how is that showing up? And there was an article that you shared with me before, mm-hmm. The Forbes Supercharge article.
Mm-hmm.
It says like there's 90% of US companies report using values to shape culture and guide decision making. And it like they understand that that's something that needs to happen, but it's not resonating in their culture. As the ethos, the corporate mystic, like what are your thoughts around that?
You know, I found that article fascinating because it points out that statistic, so that 90% of companies have values, but then it goes on to suggest that maybe they don't know how to apply them.
Mm.
You know, that while they can write them down on paper,
mm-hmm.
and look good on paper, you know, like the actual experience of those values are not resonating. They're not coming through to the employee. They're not coming through to the customer. And so, that, you know, I see that there's a real opportunity for businesses to really slow down. And I know businesses hate to hear that. I know it's just, you know, we have to be like, go, 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 forward, forward, forward. COVID really honestly did give us that opportunity. And what happened was a lot of people, a lot of mm-hmm. individuals did that. They slowed down and they reflected.
Mm-hmm.
But businesses got scared.
Mm.
They didn't take the same opportunity to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a variety of reasons. You know, I saw something not too long ago, and it was talking about, you know, the only people that want to go back to work. It was somewhat disparaging. It was sort of like the only people that want to go back to work are, you know, mid-level managers who are afraid of losing their jobs, and property management people who, you know, have, you know, business holding leases.
Uh-huh.
But one, it said something that resonated with me. It was said, you know, people who are unhappy with their home life.
Mm.
Right? And I thought about that particular bullet point in a particular way. And I thought, you know, there is a need and a balance there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be this fear-based, you have to do this because we can't lose control of our employees. You can recognize that your employees want to be connected to their business.
Yes.
They want to be connected to the purpose.
Right.
Right? They just don't want arbitrary rules that don't take their value and life into consideration anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply not workable anymore.
It's not. I mean, think about like the generations that are now in the workforce. Gen Z has entered the workforce. You have millennials, Gen X, boomers, right?
Gen Z has entered the workforce. Have you told
They're adults.
Anybody else? Have you told anybody else that Gen Z is in the workforce?
It's insane that people still confuse millennials with Gen Z. we're all one.
Because all millennials are 25, right?
We are like, still 25.
They're going to be forever 25. Like, that's the new
with story. Participation trophies.
Forever 21 is literally going to just have a tagline that says, the millennial store.
Here we are. But like, these generations have entered the workforce, and I think when, you know, a few, maybe a decade and a half of back when millennials into the workforce, they got us with ping pong ball tables and beer and, you know, coffee and lunch, free lunch, you know.
Hey, free food in some places is a big deal.
Love free food. That's one of my requirements. No, I'm kidding. But you know, so like, you saw the tide shift. I remember I was like telling one of my family members about it, and they're like, "That's you're playing games at work." I'm like, "Yeah, it's like to help me like be more creative, strategy." And it was just like a different like ideology behind like what work was for that, like our generational gap. And now Gen Z is here, and I feel like this generation is just so value based that, you know, I'm like, wow, yes, I agree. Let's ensure that our values are in sync, are aligned, because why would you spend your precious time of your life experience in a job with a company that does not value you, yes, where anyone could place you? And that's just like, I think that's where you can see that it's not to be, to have a successful company, successful business, successful leadership, it also starts at home in your personal life too. Like being able to connect with yourself. And that's why intuition is so important. And you speak about using both the left and the right brain.
Absolutely.
Not just for work, but also in your personal life too. So that way you can actually bring your best self into the workplace.
Absolutely. It's so critical. And we have put such a, even, you know, this is like an irk for me. It's like just one of these things that annoys me. And we've put so much of an emphasis on just logic, right? Mm-hmm. On just, and even to the degree that we have STEM, right? Which is great, science, technology, engineering, math, very important stuff. Mm-hmm. It is my belief that STEM is just a stick, and STEAM with art is power.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why we don't recognize the value of innovation that comes through art and design, and whether it's music or whether it's physical art or multimedia or graphic design or anything that you're looking at that's using and stimulating both sides of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at organizations, I sort of see them the same way. Like when they just tend to be very logic heavy, very process heavy, and they're using processes to solve emotional issues, mm-hmm, which that used to be kind of a mantra that I was taught, you know, all processes solve emotions in business, right?
Oh,
there's
man.
No crying in baseball, right? Like, and at the end of the day though, There are actual human beings who live actual lives, who have actual needs. And even if we're just looking at Maslow's hierarchy,
yes,
you know, is our business culture meeting our social human needs?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I would question that. It's really only at a bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, we see what's happening. You know, we talk about mental health, we talk about valuing people, we talk about these different things. But we see the struggle throughout our entire culture, mm-hmm, of how these things are affected. And a lot of this stems, you know, like I read one study that was talking about managers impact the mental health of their employees more than any other person in their life, including their physicians, their spouses, like any other person, because the manager has so much externalized control over the stress that employee is going to experience because they control their livelihood. And a good manager is not going to make that the priority and focus.
Mm-hmm.
But an unskilled manager and somebody who is not leading their employee but is really, truly just micromanaging that, you know, they're going to use that almost as a weapon to try to motivate, mm-hmm, their employee to do more work.
Mm-hmm.
And that stress translates into employee health and disease, it translates into breakdown in relationships, mm-hmm, and then it translates into a super high turnover in your environment.
You mentioned like the motivation of employees, that like what managers do, and I can't recall the article, but they were stating like, that like people want to understand the why, like, because I feel like they motivate you, they tell you the what, and they tell you how. Mm-hmm. But when you're already doing two jobs, because in my mind, every corporate job, you kind of have two jobs. You're your own admin, and you actually have the job that you signed up for, you know? So since you're your own admin, and you're here to perform the actual function at hand, and then your manager is trying to motivate you to do more.
Right.
But why?
But why?
But why? And I think that's like what we're missing here is the why, and how does this, like me doing this work, impacts the business? Are you coming? Why are you asking me to do this? Is it because I'm more skilled at X, Y, and Z that's required for this extra work? And I think with the ethos, without the intuition, the managers are having a difficult time conveying the why and inspiring people to then do the work, you know?
So I think this point is critical, and I think it's a great segue into our next discussion, which is shining some insight and giving some solutions to what that how or that why looks like. Let's take a quick break, and okay. We'll come back and we'll talk about that. So we're back, and Shaniqua was just discussing something that I think really brings us to the heart of what this topic is all about, and that is the why and how to really convey that why. Mm-hmm. How to get employees to connect into the purpose of what they're doing, and how to make leaders understand why that's so important. Mm-hmm. Why that really, really matters. Yeah. So do you want to take that a little further?
So I was reading the Inc. magazine. There's Marissa Levin. Mm. She wrote the article, The 9 Ways to Reinforce and Live Your Company's Core Values Every Day.
Yes.
We got to pull this up. It's so good.
Yeah.
One like key takeaway before I like get into the 9 ways to do this.
Yeah.
One of the key takeaways that I enjoyed, she stated that values lose their credibility when leadership talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk. And when they lose sight of what the values mean to both employees and customer experience.
Yes.
So in my mind, no matter the level of leadership, it matters. And we know that the employee, their direct experience with leadership is their manager. So when the manager doesn't talk the talk or walk the walk, you know, it's impossible to reinforce and live your company's values. So she lists that there's 9 specific ways that CEOs and their leadership team can integrate core values in everyday fabric of business.
So what are some of them? Give me a couple of them.
Give you a couple.
Yeah.
So lead by example is the obvious one. The obvious one. Everyone should lead by example.
Do as I say, not as I do. Right?
That is like ethics. And then you like see a company and then it's like, oh, integrity, ethics as their core value. Like, I don't know because you're not leading by example. And then another thing that I think is really helpful for the masses to see is recognize and reward value-centric behavior.
Ooh, I love that.
So you're not promoting that individual that's just, you know, brown-nosing their way and never doing work, you know, maybe stirring the pot of company drama. You're promoting and you're recognizing those that are living and breathing the values of the company.
Absolutely. And when you do that, you're really, truly empowering people to express those values.
Oh,
like you're showing them that it's okay. Because a lot of times employees don't know. You know, not only do they not know, even if they know what the value is, they really don't know how it affects them or how it relates to them and their job or how, you know, maybe it's super, super obvious in some particular way. But a lot of times I think company values feel kind of nebulous. You know, they feel sort of canned.
Yeah.
You know, and like somebody sat around and said, well, we've got to have integrity. I mean, like, God, you can't have a company without integrity. And, you know, I don't know. I sometimes question, like, are those values that need to be stated or should they just really be assumed?
I mean, I think they should be assumed, you know, like, I think they should be assumed. Look, you should not defraud the government. You should not, you know, drive slave labor, your employment. Like, these are just things that you, like, integrity, at like, that should be a part.
But it's what happens, and I think that this is, I think that this happens quite frequently in organizations. I think that they run into a couple of different issues. So I think companies that are starting up, especially when they're in the entrepreneur stage, they're mm-hmm. just developing. They're a company, but they're not really a company. They haven't really had to hire yet, so they've had to work with each other, and they've had to just, you know, usually they might be friends or they're connected in some way, and they adapt to each other, and that's great. Mm-hmm. And then they get funded, and now they're going to hire 20 people. Mm. And they maybe take the time to scramble and put together some values and some organizational structure, or maybe they don't. I've experienced both, you know. And in the case especially where they don't, if they do, it helps them a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But when they don't do that, it really, the dynamic becomes toxic very quickly. Mm. Because while they are all adapted to each other, what happens is they tend to tolerate certain toxic behaviors of themselves, mm-hmm. right? Because they have a shared vision and a shared purpose and a shared mission. And it's more important than, say, calling out some toxic, minor toxic behavior that, mm-hmm. you know, oh, this person just, you know, tends to blow off the handle. And, you know, every now and then they just stress out and scream, you know, or whatever, yeah. and, you know, call people names. Okay. And it's like, and we just ignore that, you know, that's just what Bob does, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, you know, it's like, sorry, Bob, sorry, all the Bobs. I love Bobs. Okay. So, you know, so it's, I think that that's one thing that happens is that they don't really know how to grow into that leadership space. Mm-hmm. They don't know themselves enough, and they don't realize what they're going to project into their organization once it starts to expand. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't understand how that energy is going to get received and how it's going to be returned back to them.
Right.
And I think the other challenges happen when people come into environments. And again, a lot of individuals aren't very in tune with their own value systems. Mm-hmm, and so most people don't really realize what their values are until somebody offends them. And then they're like, oh my God, that pisses me off. I value that, you know, yeah. and it's like a thing. And so a lot of people sort of are really nebulous about their own values because they're assuming so many values from so many different systems in their lives, mm-hmm. right? So it's like they have family values and church values and community values and school values. And right. if they're a member of an organization or whatever, all of these values, they're taking them on and negotiating them. And when they're working with an organization, that relationship is so much more intimate. Mm-hmm. Mm. And so that value impact is stronger. It just has so much more influence on the employee's life. And that's why we see today these younger generations who have watched their parents not align their values, mm-hmm. who have seen them work really, really hard and maybe not reach that point of security or happiness mm-hmm. that they're told they should reach. Mm-hmm. And they're reevaluating.
Oh, okay.
They're looking at that and they're going, well, okay, those values didn't work. Mm-hmm. Right? What values are going to work?
Right. And I think it's important for us to like highlight that we're empathetic on both sides.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, it's people that are clearly hurt, you know, and personally, where they're unable to hone, like, really feel safe enough to tap into their intuition, you know, like, and so we're empathetic of the from the C-suite down to, you know, the entry level worker. And it's something that everyone, it's empowering for everyone to be intuitive. So it will actually take the company to the heights that they're seeking, the objectives that they claim that year, you know?
Absolutely.
You mentioned that work is like one of the most intimate like relationships. Why do you say that? Like, what leads you to that?
I think that it doesn't necessarily have to be. Mm-hmm. I think there's plenty of people that can, you know, walk in and just kind of work for the paycheck, and they have external lives that, you know, again, this is about values, right? Mm-hmm. This is about what you value. But in our society, we're pretty conditioned to sort of dedicate our lives to career in a very particular way, and usually in service of others. Uh-huh. You know, usually to sort of, you know, serve that higher profit, mm-hmm. serve that boardroom, serve that shareholder, you know, whatever that looks like. But most of us attempt, at least, to try to do something that's going to fulfill us, right? Most of us like have some baseline desire to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And when you spend 40, 50, 60, 75 hours a week putting your energy and your spirit and your commitment, your dedication, your thoughts, your everything, you're making choices about the amount of time you care for yourself. You're making choices about the amount of time you spend with your family. You're making some really, and you may be making those choices based on values. You know, I care about my family, therefore I have to provide, right? Yeah. Therefore I have to be here to do this. But at the end of the day, there's a toll and a cost to all of that. You know, so, you know, from that perspective, I feel like more and more we just see that businesses and everybody has to heal from this process. You know, to your point, we are wholly empathetic. Leaders are struggling right now to really sustain their businesses. I mean, literally, just simply sustain. This is a hard market that we're in right now. And there are a lot of challenges, and it doesn't help that everybody's taking a look at their personal values and deciding like, hey, I don't want to work, you know, and it's, I hear it all the time. You know, it's like, I ask business leaders, you know, like, what's your biggest challenge right now? They'll come right back and say, people just aren't loyal anymore. People just don't want to work anymore. And I'll challenge them and I'll be like, is that really true? Because that's not my experience.
Yeah.
That's not what I witness.
Especially in a capitalistic society, I think it's a cop-out to say that people do not want to work. If that were the case, then our unhoused population would be through the roof. I mean, it's bad now, but it would be through the roof. People would just say, I'll foreclose on my mortgage and I shall sleep outside. I do not care to participate. And that's simply not true, you know? And I think with the return to the office, going back to what I stated earlier, providing the why. It would be nice for these organizations to say, hey, we have these leases. We would love for you to come back into the office.
I think some of these organizations don't realize that the people who don't want to work for them are actually starting their own businesses and developing their own whys. And that's the key to, you know, and so these companies that they're viable and they should be strong and they should be able to pivot and adapt, right? Leaders have not been given these skills. Soft skills, I'm quoting somebody, I believe it's the CEO of Microsoft, Satya Nadella, I believe his quote is something along the lines of, soft skills are actually harder than you think. Right? They're pretty hard. And we have gotten away for a long time with being able to compartmentalize that skill set away. But it can't be contained. You know, you cannot just contain one entire half of a human's existence. And so leaders are going to be really, really served by understanding the need to kind of expand and integrate at this point. To really look at emotional intelligence, right? To really look at value activation strategies. Like, let's not just name the values. Let's talk about how they get activated all the way through the ecosystem of the brand, all the way out to the customer and beyond, right? So that your values do have purpose, so that the why is super clear, right? Is we're not sitting here trying to like scratch our face and wonder like, what are they trying to tell us? You know, it's like, and we see organizations who express their values strong. You know, regardless of how you feel about any particular brand, you can look at them and you can observe that brand. You may disagree with that brand's values, right? That's perfectly fine. But they're expressing their, you know, I use Nike as an example. Nike's values, they're pretty clear and they're pretty defined. And they've held true. They have refined their values over time and they have evolved them and advanced them. But ultimately, the core of what Nike wants you to do is just do it. Right, exactly. It's not a big, I mean, it's not a mystery, right? Like, we understand what is important to them. And so, you know, I look at that like every organization, obviously every organization is not Nike, and sometimes it's not that easy to express.
Yeah.
But it's worth the time. It's worth the reflection, and it's worth really taking that step back so that you can truly leap forward. Mm-hmm. Like, I think companies that are functioning out of fear right now are really missing opportunities. Mm-hmm. This is such a great opportunity to change and expand and like really embrace possibilities
mm-hmm.
that just simply have not been there before.
Yeah.
And they are there now, you know, mm-hmm. and we should not fear that.
Oh, it's such an exciting time now. And I think what we're experiencing is like when you're not prepared, you fall back on your lowest or your highest level of proficiency. Mm-hmm. And we haven't healed from, you know, our exploitative labor, at least in our country, right? Mm-hmm. So we're falling back on exploiting labor. However, there's such an exciting time right now because the labor market has evolved and we're saying, this is what we want. And I think when leaders listen, it would be a great opportunity for innovation of how we work together. What does this look like? So it's a fantastic time.
I feel like that's a beautiful note to end on, Shaniqua. I don't know what more to add to this conversation. And this has been great. So I hope everybody takes some time to really take a look at their own values,
mm-hmm.
personally and professionally. And, you know, find the alignment.
Oh, alignment. We'll see you soon.
Bye, y'all.
Thanks for listening to our show. Show us your support by following us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
You can also find us on Castus at fromillumination2innovation.castus.com. If you love our show, share it with your friends and coworkers too. Let's all work together to help businesses
vibrate higher.